You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
"90 Day Soulmate" is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days. Hey, you know, I come home and you're just hanging out. You're not doing anything.
I don't believe you. You're lying. You did everything.
I don't believe
me.
It. No way. No way.
No way.
Yeah, no.
Shut up.
No,
you shut up. Look at her. What are
oh,
you trying
man,
to do?
You know, what's
me?
Your
no,
problem?
You. You look at me.
Ah, you me?
Look at me now.
You.
What? Oh, my God. What are you laughing for, asshole?
Oh, too bad,
my God. You're such a jerk.
Oh, my God. It's Taz. I'm terrible. Oh, my God. Honey, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. It's so terrible. Your dad is a bastard.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
Tonight we're going to talk about the impact and effects of divorce on children and potentially how to end your marriage, save your children, I think is.
Mm-hmm.
So another way we were going to choose this topic is sometimes we are in a relationship where we know it just has to end. And we can either try to preserve it for the children's sake and stress everyone out. Or potentially we can figure out a way to communicate clearly and work through a separation and divorce. There's all other alternatives as well, but today we're going to talk about the impact that a bad relationship may have on children, short term and for the long term.
Yeah.
We have a couple of studies, a couple of things that we've noted from family, friends, and people who have spoken with us. One of the things that we spoke about were, was that a few weeks ago, I had a class reunion,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't believe the number of people who made comments about how their parents' divorce when they were in elementary, middle, or high school impacted them and messed up their life for a number of years, and it still bothers them today, some 40, 50 uh-huh. years later.
Wow, it's long-term impact.
So there's short-term impact and long-term. One of the studies does a immediate impact, six-month study, and six-year study on different types of intervention in separation and divorce and how that can change the outcome for children.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about when people, what are some of the reasons people don't want to leave an argumentative and non-productive marriage?
So I guess the first can be that people don't want to destroy the home thinking and the child. I guess is the first, some mother or father want to keep together for the child.
So stay together in the relationship in a what? Is it an argumentative relationship?
Can be different scenario because can be like the, we not talk, we not have interaction. It's so cool house.
So you do what you want to do, I do what I want to
exactly.
do. Exactly. We're gonna stay
peace.
Together.
We're in peace.
We're in peace
really,
time. White yeah. flags running yeah, around the
but
house.
But really it's not a real relationship. So you teaching your child that this is like the kind of the relationship.
This is what a family is.
Yes, and maybe it's not healthy teach.
So whatever you are exhibiting in the relationship as a couple for your children, they see as being that's what's normal, because they don't know it's not normal until maybe much later on.
Or the other is when you fight every day, you scream, you have abuse, aggressive, and they believe this is love because my parent kicking up every day, but sleep together, and this is love.
And they tell us they love us too. Mm-hmm. So these are different toxic parenting styles that impact children. And a lot of times I think we grew up, or some of us grow up with maybe parents that never separated. Mm-hmm. And that was the old style, never separate, never divorce. And for many that worked well, and for others it didn't.
Yeah.
It also might not have worked well to have divorces that were very heated, contested, yelling, screaming matches, arguments, lawyers, people treating each other badly through the divorce. The children see that, and that they are impacted by that. There is a study, well, this is, I'm going to talk about this for a moment, is that one of the studies that was done here was with women, 240 women with children, who were about 2 years into separation, 1 year into divorce. Children at the time between, I think at least one of them had to be about 10 years old, and the other one could be maybe 5, 6 years old, but there's at least one child who was in this 10-year-old age. And there was a reason for this, is they wanted to have a child that could answer questions with some thought, also be mature enough to go through some mediation, some training, some other things that was part of the study. So the study went into three different things. But first, there are over 1.5 to 2 million youth every year that are experiencing their parents going through divorce. That's 1.5 to 2 million youth in America that are experiencing their parents splitting up, either cooperating in a split up because it's best for everyone and everyone realizes it, not doing it cooperatively and having huge arguments. This study focused on looking at present time. Let's do an interview with the mother. Let's do an interview with the child. One child, not all of them, just the one child, and find out how they're handling things, how the interaction is between the mother and the child, and how the child is coping with just general life based upon this. Once they determine how the mother and the child are communicating, mm-hmm. and how they're coping, how they're dealing with it, they then put the mother and child potentially through three different types of training. So they take the 240 family groups, the mother and child, and they put 1/3 of them in a mother-only training session for 11 different sessions, where the mother goes through different techniques on how to communicate, how to handle the things that are going on, how to work with their child. Second group of about 80 go into a mother-child training group where both the mother and child are taught techniques on how to handle stress and how to cope. And then the last group are basically a mother and child are given a series of books to read. Here's some literature. Go ahead and read it. Mm-hmm. The idea is to figure out how things change from the beginning to the end. And they looked at prior to coming into the study. They looked at the time of the study, they looked at immediately during and after the training, they looked at 6 months after the training, and 6 years after the training. So this study went on for a long time.
Wow.
And it was impressive. They found a few things that helped the child cope. And one was education. So education and coping mechanisms, education and communication between mother and child. there was a piece of this. Part of the study was the access that the father had or the other parent had to the child. That was also taken into account, that was a positive in the coping mechanism. What things helped the coping mechanism were the relationship. The better the relationship between the mother and the child, and the more they were easily communicating with each other, the more the child was able to cope in that divorce, their transition. Some interesting things is that this was not only a short term, but a long term, 6 months and 6 years. And what they found was some of the coping mechanisms, some of the, they call it efficacy, the how easy it was or the how beneficial the coping was, got stronger as time went on. And so there was a short-term effect, but they found that it actually got stronger over the six-year time period than it would have been if they did not do anything. And part of it was by learning this, these different techniques on how to handle the stress and the breakup, the communication improved and continued to improve more, because the more the communication was made available, the more communication then happened spontaneously, and it helped that relationship. So communication was
key.
And there's some other stuff in here maybe we'll find in a little bit, but the main point is that this study was not really talking about the couple and how to go through that, but it was how just one person was to deal with this separation and divorce. And again, the average was 2 years of separation, 1 year of divorce for the person who was in the study, or the people who were in the study. And again, it was for one person, not the couple. The partners were not involved. And it wasn't pre-planning the separation and divorce. This was after it happened. So I think the point we're making is, if communication is key, 2 years after separation, 1 year after divorce, for a family struggling, then perhaps communication before all of this occurs can help reduce the issues and challenges that children face.
This is some family like not talk about that. You know what I mean? So
yes,
better not talk about that. And by this study, it looks like it's important to talk about that.
Yeah, and it's the talk after, but the talk before. We should talk before about what's going on. There was stuff like this. So one of the things, one of the measures that they had was the mother-child relationship quality. What would you think a mother and child, what's a measure of the quality of a relationship between a mother and child?
I guess it's important. So the way, sometimes, yeah, I recommend my friend that you can block the communication when I notice some mother, talk about because I am mother, try to protect the child. But at the protection, sometimes you block the communication because you start to do correction in the middle of the conversation with your child. Sometimes your child talks something that you almost die, and you have to be calm and try to be not broke the bridge between your child and you. Because you immediately react and say, how you can tell me that? Why you did that? And start to make a more question versus that you start to understand the situation. And I guess I practice this with my child, and okay, I guess that we have pretty good communication.
So communication, going back to communication. So
and connection.
A measure of child-mother relationship, a measure of it, the quality, is communication, is how much somebody talks to each other. In fact, one of the sample questions that they used were, you almost always spoke to your child with a warm and friendly voice, and the opposite of that, so they ask questions in the positive and the negative. The negative to the child is, your mother wasn't very patient with you. So these are how they're measuring the quality. If the child reacts and says, no, my mother was really patient with me, then that's a positive quality of the relationship. So this was some of the questions they asked. You regularly talked about things that happened each day. Talking regularly about things that happen each day, whether you are not going through a divorce, whether you are going through a divorce, is one of the top things, just regularly talking to your child about what happened today. And I believe that we sometimes get so busy with friends, with internet, with work, with all of our devices, with all the social media, that we start building up all these things that take our time. And just listening to our kids and having a conversation with them sometimes becomes a smaller and smaller time frame to do that. There's some other measures. Do you want to go into some of the other measures?
Yes, please.
So some of the other measures that they measured is discipline. That if you can give and encourage discipline in the family, that could be seen as a good thing. Is discipline, a good sense of discipline, good, and is a bad discipline bad? And here are some of the questions. Like, you soon forgot a rule you had made. So going to a parent, do you soon forget a rule you had made? Consistency in rulemaking is a positive. You make a rule, that's the rule. But if you give a rule and then tomorrow you forgot the rule or changed the rule, that starts to diminish the relationship quality between you and your child. So it's consistent rulemaking, but fair rulemaking, clear rulemaking. How about this one? When your child misbehaved, how often did you get him or her to correct or make up for the problem or do a payback? So not you do a payback on them when they made a mistake or misbehaved, but have them make it up to you in some way. Okay, you did this, how are you going to make it up? And then they have to think, and then they have to offer a way to make up for that misbehavior. But it's a way to get buy-in to, one, yes, I did misbehave, and two, I need to motivate myself to correct that. And there's one here, this goes negative. When your child misbehaved, how often did you slap, hit, discipline physically that child? And that was taken as a negative. So they went through a whole gamut of different disciplinary actions to come up with positive and negative discipline traits as one of the aspects. And then finally, out of all this, they measured the coping mechanism of the child. Okay. What does coping mean?
I don't have idea.
Coping, well, you get a saw and you can cut around things, but coping, and I joke with that a little bit, but a coping saw allows you to make very sharp shape cuts. And you think about coping with life. You have things coming at you that are stressful. You have things that are new. You are pushed in a new direction. You all of a sudden have to live in a new house. How do you handle those stresses? How do you navigate through that? And the better you are at coping, the better you're responding at coping, your emotional state is reduced, you breathe better, you're happier. And so a result of the quality of the relationship with the mother, which came from some of these training courses that were given, the interventions, helped the child with coping mechanisms. And the final part of this whole study was based upon, did the child develop coping mechanisms through and as a result of the different interventions, the mother training, the mother-child training, and the literature training? Did those three things help the child immediately, short-term and long-term, in coping with the things that were going on in their life? And in all of the aspects, yes, it did. For this study, those three things helped children cope with the stresses of divorce and having to go through the situation and understand different methods of handling the changes that are going on with their life. Okay. And we'll be back right after this with more on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days. In just 90 days, you'll develop your vision, mission, and objectives. You'll get a diagnostic plan that includes a strength, weaknesses, opportunities and threats analysis, an evaluation of what you're looking for to develop a master plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be. 90 Day Solutions. See what you can be.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about how to transition through separation and divorce, if that is what you choose. And we have a couple of details on, and I think Lizette brought this up to me before. Yeah. We're talking about this piece down here, which is divorce is traumatic, but sometimes...
Sometimes it depends how the people handle the divorce. So I have a friend, I like to talk real history, that she was concerned to divorce because she had 4 children. And she stay in the marriage, but she don't feel well. And also the husband know that we are separate. Sometimes he traveled for 3 months and not staying home. And she told me that she was scared to make some kind of the drama or trauma to the child. So right. I say, it depends how you deliver it, the message to your child. If it is drama, they have drama. If you do in the logical way and some harmony way, you can have a good result. So she talked with the child and the surprise, the child acting also better, say, yes, it's better that you separate and that you be relaxing. And she was so relaxing after this because feel the and right now everybody's happy and everybody have good relationship with each other. So, without drama.
So do you think children actually know what's going on, but yeah, they're afraid to say something because you're afraid to say something?
Yes.
So we were talking before the show about what's the best way not to get divorced?
Not marry.
Before you go looking for your partner, read 90 Day Soulmate. It will help shortcut those potential problems that may come up in a relationship because you will seek out people who are more compatible, more communicative, and fit with you better. So 90 Day Soulmate is the process of finding your soulmate, and it has a lot of checklists, work pages, and a process for finding somebody you're more compatible with.
Yes, because if you don't read the book and you divorce, maybe you found the same guy in different body and have the same problem. So
this,
you have to,
this helps you
to make a better process to understand what happened for your failed relationship and create a new better relationship.
Right. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect together.
Yes. It's not the perfect person. It's a perfect person
for you. So one of the other things is that sometimes divorce, because children are so, what is that called? They are like little emotional slivers. They feel everything. They're very sensitive. They are picking up on everything that's going on in the house or that's not going on in the house. They know a lot. So sometimes staying in a high conflict marriage is much worse than divorcing. And let's use the word, no matter how bad it can be in the marriage or in staying together, if you can determine together that it's not working out, and if you can cooperatively work through the separation, it can be not only good for you and your mate, but for your whole family. Cooperation, communication, and mediation. Mm-hmm. So maybe you should decide, instead of getting lawyers and suing each other, you just say, you know what, let's see if we can first go the amicable way, mm-hmm. and find a mediator, somebody we can go to and help walk us through what's typical, what's usual, what's best for all of us to maintain the most pleasant experience possible for the family. Sometimes this isn't possible. I mean, if you're in like a very abusive relationship and one that you just have to get out of, you know, going to mediation may not work for everyone. But if it is otherwise, you know, if you're thinking, hey, I could probably stay in this for the next 20 years, although we really don't talk, you know, maybe it's time to talk and say, let's see about
it. And also separating. I say, if you make a decision to stay in the relationship, in no divorce, stay happy.
Yeah.
It's looking for to work well, but you know, stay like the, okay, this is my only option and I have to sacrifice and stay here sad, and this is not the way.
Okay. So the staying happy in a relationship is also something, there's one thing in here that talks about if you're splitting, you need to keep yourself happy through this process. Because it is, even though you are doing cooperatively, there's probably going to be times where you're sad, you're depressed, you're anxious.
It's normal, yeah.
Activity, hobbies, interests, staying involved with family and friends and people, not just in, oh, I can't believe I'm separating, but, hey, you know what, I used to love to go to square dancing. Actually, I never did, but something, you know, something that you like as a hobby. Stay active, stay positive, and if you can involve others in your family, your children, friends, it can keep you motivated, it can keep you positive, and may just open you up to, wow, you know, this is actually a positive thing. The other thing that we saw, and I don't know if we brought up the statistics yet, if we did or not.
No, not yet. So the 20% and 48%, that is a big number.
20% of first-time marriages go to divorce within the first 5 years. And 48% of marriages over a 20-year period end in divorce.
So almost half.
So just as we are talking about this, is that for every couple that is getting married or is married, half of them within 20 years are going to separate. At least that is the statistic. And if you haven't utilized our 90 Day Soulmate book to become a couple, that chance is high. And if you have used the book, the chance is low. That is it something that you should be thinking about as you enter a relationship? You know what? 50% chance this is going to end. I hate to go into a relationship thinking that 50% chance is going to end. But education in how to keep the relationship going, how to communicate with your partner, and in some cases, how to communicate if you are separating is very valuable. What do you think we should do with our children? Should we tell them anything? So one of the suggestions in this article is come up with a plan between you and your partner. If you are in an amicable split, discuss what you think the options are and actually have the conversation with your children, as this is, you know, we know this is a change, but here's the reason we think we're doing it, and Here are the reasons we think it's positive for all of us. We are going to stay together in communication, and we're going to be visiting each other. Having both parents involved with the children long-term has the most benefit to the children. Getting into a nasty drag-out divorce where the children are pulled away from one parent, never to see that parent again, is not what any of us would want if we had a choice.
Yeah. And also some processes that, or some parents start to use the kid for manipulate the person. So be careful with that.
That is true. And what was the last thing here? Therapist, psychologist, others can also help. We talked about mediator, that there are people who specialize in helping couples make it through these type of challenges and can potentially help you and the entire family. Not you, possibly. Maybe it's a friend you know. Somebody that you can help out and suggest some alternatives. That is a little section on amicable separation and divorce. We're going to be right back after this with a third and final segment that we're going to have a couple of tips that we think for a better relationship, and again reiterate why sometimes the separation and the splitting may be best for not only you but and your children. We'll be right back after this with 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days. In just 90 days, you'll develop your vision, mission, and objectives. You'll get a diagnostic plan that includes a strength, weaknesses, opportunities and threats analysis, an evaluation of what you're looking for to develop a master plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be. 90 Day Solutions. See what you can be.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Our final segment, we're going to reiterate some of the challenges of divorce. One is this study that we are now looking at talks about children who were born prematurely, 35 weeks or less, and otherwise by 2 years who are normally functioning. But it was, what is the impact of divorce on children who have entered the world with a little bit of being the underdog, having to work a little bit harder, having to be cared for a little bit more? And the study showed that children who went through a tough divorce, or their parent went through a tough divorce, ended up with about a half of a standard deviation lower test on cognitive skills at the age of 5 than those who did not. But there's a couple of nuances. The child would have had to have gone through the tragedy or the struggle of a divorce in their household after the age of 3. That between 3 and 5 seemed to be the age where that was the greatest impact for the study here. And the study was done with young children. It wasn't done with older children. It was done with the younger children where they actually did this testing. The children who experienced divorce in their family between 1 and 3 years old had no significant change in how they functioned. So again, those who experienced the family struggle of divorce between 3 years and 5 years old ended up paying less attention in school, having more behavioral trouble, and scoring a full half of a standard deviation. That's almost like a 7-point IQ reduction from having a divorce in their family, their parents divorcing in the age of 3 to 5, but in the age of 1 to 3, there wasn't a change. And so the study goes on and discusses
the reasons. My example is I divorced when Alfredo was born. So in this way, also he believed when he was a child that every family, the father lives in one house and the mother lives in one house, and it's normal. So he not saw any drama because he grew up with just the mother.
So this study wasn't meant to be pro-divorce or anti-divorce, but just impact. How did divorce impact? As a result, though, it gives a argument for it's better if you know this is leading to divorce, do it sooner than later, because it's going to not impact as much young children between 1 and 3 years old, who haven't developed the awareness and dependency on the two parents.
The habit of the home.
They just don't recognize it yet, and they're less impacted than a 3 to 5 year old. And the study doesn't go on to 5, 6, 7 year olds. It's just that 3 to 5 year range. So one of the outputs of the study is, okay, we got to study older children that have gone through divorce too. There's a general understanding that children who have experienced parental divorce have harder times coping, like we talked about earlier. They have harder times in school, harder times socializing. And we can read into some of these things. They may not trust relationships, so they have a mistrust, distrust of people, making it more difficult for them to form long-term loving relationships, because if that trust was broken between the two people who were literally your creators, right? When you're, you know, in that young age.
Yes, it's your example that you have. Yeah.
Yeah, they're your example, and when that is crushed in a bad divorce, it can lead you to thinking that love like that, which is, what is that called? Unconditional love that you feel when you're a baby, that if that's crushed, then what else is going to happen? And why should I not be wary of any type of relationship or anybody out there? And so we can all see how difficult this can be, especially those of us who have gone through or have had families that have had that wicked, terrible divorce happen in our family.
So I like this for...
So these are the things that here's the parental separation has been associated with decrease in child motivation. What's it all for if things just fall apart? What's it all for? Why should I do anything? Engagement being engaged with other people, being a friend, a close friend, getting into a relationship, just person-to-person connections, autonomy. So the person feeling they're in control of their own life, if their life is spinning out of control because of a family situation, they start losing a sense of autonomy, that they have any control over their own life. And then this was an interesting one, manual dexterity, that being able to do things, be dexterous, pick up pens, do very fine work, art, sports, that the dexterity goes. And, you know, what is that? Is the brain overwhelmed with so many different emotions and feelings that the balance and precision of muscle and coordination goes away? Is the brain that affected? But these were four things that have been shown to be impacted by parental separation. So it is tough, especially when that separation is tough. It's argumentative. It's violent. It's that if it's not a smooth family life, or a smooth separation. So the one study we just talked about a few minutes ago said how children can overcome this in, you know, 1 or 2 years, that they can get over it. And then another study says, no, they can't. So I think a lot of it has to do with, what are they getting over? Are they getting over a very smooth transition that happened at a very young age where they weren't really aware of it? Or are they trying to cope with a drastic transition that happened at an age that they were really aware that they were in school and they feel out of place because, you know, only two of their friends are going, you know, are in families with divorce, and they just feel out of place. So it depends, I think, on the situation.
There's a lot of factors. So is the parents, is the child, is the culture, the knowledge. Yes, it's a lot of factors.
So what's interesting, this is a completely different study, but it also says for infants that regarding the age of separation, the family separation, that the cognitive development of infants that had separation before age 3 were not affected. So again, that magic number of age 3. Is backed up between one study and the other study. So that was very interesting. What else do we have here? I had itemized some of these things. Negative consequences of family separation. So paying attention. I have difficulty paying attention. I hope it's just because I have ADHD. And as we hear a motor kick on in the house, bringing awareness that we heard that. Overwhelmed. Children from separated families, divorced parents can become overwhelmed more easily than children from intact families. And I guess that's because you have a sense of stability in an intact family.
It can be.
That you feel more confident because you've got a family that backs you.
Mm.
You feel part of a tribe.
Yeah.
Conversations at school. Oh, that teachers would consider children of divorced parents to be less considerate of others and conversations to be more inappropriate.
Hmm.
Not just because they're from divorced parents or separated parents, but the actual conversations were correlated with divorce separation correlated with inappropriate language. Again, difficulty with activities with manual dexterity, drawing, or handicrafts. Interesting. So we did talk about the general IQ differential. I use IQ. It was GSA test. It's a standard test of ability. And a half a deviation in that standard deviation is equivalent to about a 7-point in IQ differential. A couple of interesting things. I want to go back to the study with the mothers and the children. That mothers and children in the study that were given the three types of interventions, where there was the mother training, the mother and child training, or the literature, that they had interviewed families or mothers with children to be in this study, and there was more of an acceptance by higher income and higher educated mothers, more of an acceptance, yes, I want to do this study, that than the lower income and lower educated. However, once in the study, there was no difference in outcomes, meaning the lower educated, lower income, higher educated, higher income mothers and children there was no difference in the outcomes between them. So it was a randomized output and there was no correlation between any of that. So they were really showing that the communication, the training, the interventions were very positive. Long-term effects in this study, this one that we just talked about, were not concluded or done, but it says it would be a good idea to do that. So some of our tips, go ahead.
Yeah, so the conclusion, I guess, one is be open communication with your child. It's important. No put the drama in the process. It's more like the logical way to you looking for the best relationship in the future can be separate. What else is the third recommendation?
I think one of the things that we just heard was learn, study,
prepare.
Whether it's preparing to have a better relationship or preparing to separate, the idea of learning and studying and having people be coaches and or therapists helping guide you into a better relationship or in a better way of dealing with and communicating with your children and your spouse makes sense. So we'll call that preparation. I'll call that education. Mm-hmm. Our relationships, our family relationships, are some of the most important things that we have in our life. And yet we have years of elementary school, middle school, high school, where there's hardly a class on interpersonal communication, on how to find a great partner, your soulmate.
But we have right now a book.
We have a book called 90 Day Soulmate, which actually helps in those areas. And that's one of the reasons we did write this book, was that we saw that you go to school for math, which a lot of people say, I never use that stuff. But every day we use relationship techniques, how we question other people, how we listen to them. We talked earlier about the mother asking the child, so how did your day go? That just these little things like communication tips, that those things aren't taught.
Yeah.
So there's some people naturally good at it. Some people who may go out and get some books and read about it. And others that are going, you know, it's just...
You need half a training. Yeah.
Training. What else you got there?
I guess the time is
a time.
Yes.
We hear it's about time. So we thank you for your time. And we say, hopefully, that your relationship is great. And you are preparing for the best relationship of your life, whether it's now or in the future. From us, 90 Day Soulmate to you. Have a great week. And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.